Hello friends, this is Professor Venkata here. Many of you know me. Today I've been given the task of, talking about this subject, performance management and reward systems. It's a part of HR and I'll take you through the journey of this book and let's get started. The very first chapter that's coming up is called as Introduction and Overview of Performance Management and Reward Systems. It's an introduction, right? Now, let's first give a precursor to the whole discussion. Let's try to understand what is this all about and why a performance management, right? Let's go back to the basics of an organization. Every organization, as we know, is a cluster of resources. The four M's that we talk about in principles of management: men, machine, materials and money. And we got the fifth M called the methods, which integrates all the four. Now, among the five M's, we use them in a certain optimal mix, and that is what is called as effective management, as we know. Having said this, the important thing to be noted is among the five M's, one M, man, the human being, the human resource, is very, very unique. Human resources make or break an organization. Human resources can make or break an organization. It's a living resource. It gets evaluated year after year. And it is the resource that actually brings about profitable endeavor to the organization. Point number one. So human resources are the backbone of any organization, other things being equal. Second point to be noted is, year after year, every organization which is in the competitive field of its business tries to achieve higher turnover and higher profits. If an organization has to achieve higher turnover and higher profits, it needs to put in more efforts. Who puts the efforts? Human beings. So what I did yesterday as a human being, as a human resource, I need to do something different tomorrow. So my performance has to improve. If my performance improves, my skills, competencies, etc. will produce better results. So year after year, every organization is expecting that the performance of their employees keeps improving. So how do I ensure that it keeps improving? I need to have a system. And this system is called as performance management system. Now, when I'm motivating you to increase your performance, obviously I have to give you something in return. And that is linked with this. It's called as a reward system. So I ask you to do X units of work. I give you a certain amount of money or some resource which you need, which is considered as a reward by you. When I'm asking you to do 2x, double the quantum of work, obviously you're stretching yourself. You may have to learn some newer skills. You may have to put in extra efforts. So you're stretching yourself from the earlier status quo. So I need to reward you. So when we learn this subject, we have to realize that performance management is an ongoing process, and when performance management is set into activity, what logically follows is also the reward system. Hence the title, Performance Management and Reward Systems. Right? So here we go, trying to understand how this first chapter is made. The learning objectives of the first chapter includes understanding the key features and characteristics of performance management, gain overall perspective of reward systems, understand the importance linkage between performance management and reward systems, understand the concepts, principles and role of performance management in an organization, appreciate the key features of performance management and reward system, and understand the benefits of performance management and reward systems. So what we'll be doing is we'll try to understand the basics of these two processes. The structure which has been created by the book, Introduction to Performance Management and Reward System, key objectives to PMS, performance management concepts, the essentials of performance management system, key activities involved in a robust performance management system PMS, challenges in the implementation of an effective and efficient performance management system, evolution of performance management system, key difference between performance appraisal and performance management, the need for a robust performance management and reward system, the reward system by itself, key objectives of a reward system, types of rewards and features. So let's start off with the very first one, introduction of PM and reward systems. Planning work, like any activity in management, this requires a certain systematic approach, systematic scientific approach based on what we are addressing. What's the goal? The goal is to see that we are enabling, monitoring the human resources on their performance and their outputs. Now, this being the case, obviously I need to do the first step, which is planning. I need to plan. What is performance? Define it. It varies from person to person depending upon what job he's doing. What are the parameters that I need to measure? All performance cannot be measured tangibly. Let's understand this first and foremost. All performance cannot be measured tangibly, but what can be measured is a related output in some cases. Related output. A person who is giving a service may service 10 customers. Now 10 is not his performance. Now how many of these customers he is serving with satisfaction, which is intangible, which can't be measured. Now to measure that, in the modern times we have certain metrics, certain analytics which are indirectly measuring your efforts versus the satisfaction which some customers get. That becomes your performance. Merely because I have 10 customers or 20 customers, that doesn't mean that 20 customers is my performance. No. So what I do to them in terms of service, what's the satisfaction levels, and how they have become repeat customers, so many other parameters are there. Essentially, what I'm trying to drive home is all performance is not measurable, which makes a PMS, performance management system, a little challenging in some cases. Having said that, every effort is being made by very good HR bodies and very good companies to ensure that we are linking the intangible, which is effort, to the tangible, which is the result. So there are research things going on, and there are a lot of people, consultants, who are connecting these two things at the very simplistic level of understanding. These are called as metrics or analytics in some HR parlance, right? So then we talk about setting expectations. Obviously, I'm telling you to do some work. I'm the boss, I'm the company. So I'm setting expectation that this is what I'm expecting from you. It can be tangible results. It can be behavior. Both. It can be something more than that. So when you do these things, which is my expectation, you would have done your performance satisfactorily as per my expectation. Now, setting expectation is not a one-sided thing. It is two-sided. Just as I am setting expectations with my employee, my junior, he or she would also be setting expectations towards me. This is what I'm expecting from the organization as a support. So it's a case of mutual expectation between the two, which has to be clearly understood. A good performance management system should ensure that expectations on both sides are clear. Right? Then we come to continuously monitoring performance on a periodic basis, depending upon the nature of business. In a service sector, the monitoring is quite rapid. The frequency can be daily, hourly, every week perhaps. In some other type of things, maybe in manufacturing units, the performance, continuous performance management cycles may be more. It may be 15 days, 1 month, depends. So the continuous part of it means it is going to be continuously seeing whether you are in the right path of performing as per company expectations. And that is essential to ensure that we make the corrections. In any control system, when you are continuously performing, you come to know the error when the performance, post-performance. So you can correct it. You don't have to wait till the end of the results. Right? Developing capacity to perform. What is this capacity to perform? The people, the human resources who are working in the organization, they have to develop better skills, better capabilities, higher competencies. So what I did 10 years back, I can't be under that same level of skills and competencies, as you know. So I need to perform better. So this capacity to perform is nothing but I've got to put him into a training and development type of a mode. So I have to imbibe into him skills which are required for the higher position, or skills which are required in the same position year after year, for him to perform much more efficiently, producing higher results. So there, the capacity to perform I need to develop. So the person goes through developmental training, wherein behaviors are looked into, the behavioral changes are imbibed, it's being suggested by the trainer, and then the person goes through certain deeper understanding about what he needs to do, why he needs to do at the senior level. Those of you who are listening to me, who have gone through this metamorphosis from the time you joined an organization, say 10 years or 15 years of experience, you'll agree that what you thought of about your job functions and the organization when you were a trainee and what you're thinking about it now is quite different. Now that comes only when you train yourself and you accept yourself and adapt yourself to the new roles that you're playing year after year. Right? Now comes periodically rating performance. Obviously, performance, I am developing capacity to perform and you're performing higher levels. Now I've got to measure it. I've got to know whether it is as per the metrics, as per the standards, as per the norms and expectations set by the organization. So I need to periodically rate your performance. The purpose of rating is to give you feedback that you're on the right track, you need to speed up or you need to slow down or whatever. Idea is to give a feedback and see that it's on the course, a course correction, if you can call it. Right? Rewarding good performance. Obviously, when you do a good performance, I need to reward you. And rewards can be tangible or intangible. It can be monetary or non-monetary. Okay? And now, what are the key parameters for managers' performance in large MNC? I would not like to say just MNC, any organization for that matter. The book is talking about large MNC, but any organization for that matter has got certain key parameters which we need to consider for performance. One is the profitable growth of the organization. Obviously, we are in the market, we are competing with our competitors in the field in which we exist. If I'm a shipping company, then I'm competing with other shipping companies. So I need to have a profitable growth. So if my company needs to have a profitable growth, the people who are in the company also need to have a superior performance year after year. So that becomes one parameter of measure. Second is incremental contribution from new sales. So new sales, which is new products, new market, from there, how much of incremental sales, how much is the sales picking up? One of the parameters. Third is entry into new geography. A place or a geography or a state or a nation where we have never done any business, have we entered that or not? So that's a breakaway performance, breakthrough performance, right? Then we talk about mergers and acquisitions. So when companies merge or when they are acquired by some other company, there is a churning of human resources. Many things change. During that time, again, performance management parameters are very, very clearly to be understood. Next, we talk about cash flow acceleration. Cash flow means the company is making money. The company needs to have a cash flow for all the activities that they're doing. Literally, imagine a pipeline in which the cash is flowing. Now, this cash flow, as companies become more and more profitable, more and more competitive in the market, the more and more they try to rise up to become leadership status, the cash flow should be very rapid. There should be acceleration of cash flow. Obviously, this can't happen unless and until at the backside, we have people who have the skills to make this acceleration happen. Because with the skills will create the processes, and the processes in turn will create the acceleration. Right? Now we talk about innovation. Very big chapter. I teach this subject for the semester 2 for the distance learning people. Now innovation is all about applying creativity into a certain need gap of the customer. I repeat, innovation is nothing but application of creativity into the need gap of the market or the customer. Any product, any service that is done for the first time is an innovation of sorts. There is a certain need which people have, that need is getting fulfilled. That need, once it is fulfilled, the novelty or the excitement of innovation is gone, it wears off, and they start using it as a repeat product or a repeat service. There comes a time when they would like to have something better than what they are doing. So again a need gap arises. So this is again a continuous process of innovation. Innovation obviously is driven by none other than the human resources. So the performance of the human resource in the area of creativity is another parameter which we need to understand. Now creativity is of different sorts. Innovation is there in every field, in finance, in HR, in marketing, in operations, everywhere it is there. Now innovation is the backbone of today's organizations. So we want to ensure that in our organization, people are performing in a manner in which they do things creatively and they are in a position to open their minds to innovation as and when it is demanded from them. One point which I would like to add here, which I talk about in my innovation sessions, is you can't be innovative, you as a human being, unless and until you are creative. All human beings are creative, but they don't realize it. Now, for you to be creative, for you to understand that you're creative, you must be able to be flexible in your thinking. So when you're flexible, you are creative. When you're creative, you're innovative. People who are not flexible, they become slaves to their own routine thinking. And when they get stuck up in the routine thinking, when there's a change taking place, they get irritated. They don't find newer ways of doing the things. So the moment you are open, you're flexible, when there's a stuck situation, you start seeing newer ways of doing things, which is what is creativity. And once you do that, automatically your mind is open to innovation. You can see innovation around, you will not resist change. So one of the things about innovation is important because today changes are taking place, not just changes, but rapid changes, right? Social and environmental performance, how well the company is doing in the social front with the customers, with the suppliers, with the logistics people outside the company, and the type of environmental, the environment within the company and outside the company which they are maintaining, which again is driven by human beings, not by anybody else. You may have the technology, you may have everything with you, but ultimately human beings have to drive it. The initiative comes from them. So that's where the performance comes into picture, right? Regulatory compliance levels, which is all about the government legislations, certain types of norms you need to follow, safety, etc., which is a part of the whole compliance thing. So that part of it is again a performance which the organizational human resources have to do. What are the objectives of a PM system? What do I want to achieve? Goal clarity for employees and exploring full potential. Very, very important. I've come across, I'm a trainer, a behavioral trainer, a leadership coach. I come across many organizations where you would not believe it. People, even at a senior level, do not have a goal clarity. It may sound very surprising and shocking. Now, when I say goal clarity, means exactly what is expected, what am I supposed to perform. There are some sort of a vague idea, this is the goal, and somewhere within the goal, ballpark figure, they do it. But goal clarity is very important. What is expected, you have to keep on reiterating, which means you have to keep on refining and asking yourself and ensuring that you are actually on the path of the goal. So this goal clarity comes only by repeated understanding about what you're doing, what you're supposed to do, and where you're going. Especially when you're going higher up in the organization, the goals are nebulous, the goals are intangible. Service may be a goal. The type of influencing thing you're doing with certain customers globally may become a goal. Now that cannot be measured. Now how you do it is a very complex and tricky thing. But the person who's doing it, if he knows his performance well, if he has got a goal clarity, things become easier. Right? And let me add, your goal clarity is based on the vision of the company, which you're supposed to clearly know. Your goal clarity is based on your position in the whole matrix of the organization. Right? And when I know my goal very clearly, all of you will agree that I'll explore my full capacity. I'm right now talking to you. My goal is to ensure that this particular subject comes to you clearly. So if I do my homework, if I do the research properly, if I read this thing again, put the whole thing properly, read the book, then it becomes easy for me to deliver this particular lecture. Right? Defined role, responsibility, evaluation of parameters for all employees. So we got to exactly tell them, this is your responsibility, this is your power, this is your accountability, this is your authority. So that has to be properly defined for every position. If that is clear, then the performance happening the way the expectations are set is much more easier. Right? Understand accountabilities, competencies and expectations. When I do some job, I'm accountable to it. If it succeeds, I'm accountable. If it doesn't succeed, still I'm accountable. What are the expectations, the competencies, all that I need to understand, map it. Right? Employee engagement. Engaging the person, engaging the human resources emotionally, that is employee engagement. Not just doing the job. How well he or she is satisfied with the job. Is a person really engaging himself or herself into the larger picture of the organization? Do they look at their work as an extension of the top management's vision? Now, the employee engagement is an outcome of job satisfaction. When people are job satisfied, they engage themselves willingly. If they are not engaging willingly, if they don't stretch themselves a little more, it means that they are not feeling fully job satisfied. So employee engagement is related to job satisfaction, right? Encouraging empowerment, motivation and implementation of effective reward system. Now, I've got to set a certain type of a structure, a process, which will ensure that I will be empowering my employees, motivating them, and I would be in a position to reward them as and when it happens. The implementation of the reward system, right? And now, taking it further, the key objectives of the PMS, establishment of two-way communication between managers and the employees. Fortunately, today, unlike the time when I started my career as an engineer, today we got a very open culture in most organizations. The communication is free-flowing between boss and subordinate, as a matter of fact, throughout the organization. Now, when the communication is free-flowing, unthreatened, informal, what happens is we understand each other better. We feel like communicating whatever we want to communicate, plus, minus, or whatever. So this is an essential part of it. Providing continual feedback, continuous coaching. Every time there's a periodic review going on, or periodically I'm trying to give you inputs, I'll give you coaching. So today the coaching part of it is a very important thing. I'm doing coaching for quite a few people in certain companies, and in that we only guide them that this is the way you do, right? And so that the person is using his competencies, not the coach's competencies. His competencies to do his performance much better, right? Everybody needs the guidance. Identify barriers to effective performance. Now, a performance, when I'm trying to do something, there are bound to have barriers. I may have psychological barriers, don't like the work. I may not like the company, it's possible. I may have physical barriers, I'm doing the work, I find the space is not enough for me. Okay, so these barriers need to be identified. Who identifies you as an employee? You as a person who's working. There are times when very good, talented people are working, but they don't give their performance well because there are some barriers around them and they don't express it. So the communication is very important so that the best in you comes out. Establish timely resolution of the barriers of coaching. Timely resolution of the barriers. Once the barriers are identified, it's important that we are in a position to remove them on timely. If you delay it, the performance suffers, the barriers may, newer barriers may come in. The next point is establish right basis for management decisions. You have to have, so what is a management decision? Something which is strategic in nature. I want to go for a new product. I want to diversify. I want to remove certain things which are obsolete. These are all the management decisions. You must set the right basis for this. Promotion of for personal growth. Now, personal growth means what? The person starts feeling he's stagnating. After 3-4 years in today's world, youngsters I've seen, after 2 years they feel they are stagnating. They need to be pushed up. So they need to have this promotion. Now, promotion doesn't mean you put them in a higher position. Promotion means give them some motivating factors which actually brings out the best in them so that they don't feel stagnated. Because if a person feels stagnation, he or she will start losing interest in the job and then you cannot do anything. Now by promotion, it is not just the promotion of the position, but promoting the person to further personal growth, motivating him, understanding what he wants, and then giving him the push, right? Now, what are the concepts in PMS? Performance management concepts is something which I'm covering right now. The first bullet point says involves understanding and acting on the performance issues at each level of the organization. Underline the word each level. There are levels in the organization. At every level, there are certain performances that is expected. At the senior most level, the performance expected is very, very high. They have to maintain the company's turnover. They have to increase it year after year. Profit levels have to keep on increasing. They must, in the market share, they must be number one. Lot of expectations are there. There's a CEO at the top. Now below the CEO, there are vice presidents, general managers, different levels are there, right? Now at every level, the same expectation is brought at a delegated level, which means whatever the CEO has to do, the others have to support him by their respective positions and functions. So if you are a person who's a HOD, head of the department of a certain function in your organization, you have to know very clearly that whatever I am doing is a part of the vision and the KRA, the key result area of the CEO. Now when everybody does this, then my job right now, I'm talking to you on the camera, right? Now I am talking on behalf of V School, right? Now when I'm talking on behalf of V School, I have to understand that this is a part of my communication as far as a V School vision is concerned. Reaching those thousands of people who are listening to me who are not in the vicinity physically. Now when I perform this lecture in that manner, it has a different flavor. So everything comes into my mind, the organization, V School, its vision, the values for which we are representing ourselves, and many other things. So I must be a fundamental part of it. We have a director and I'm a visiting faculty. There are different levels, but each level at which we are operating, we must be integrating ourselves with the top level's vision. Okay, this is the first thing. Second is, involves a discussion on leadership issues, risk-taking capabilities, etc. What's the leadership? Leadership is not a position. A person who is willing to take a risk to do something which he or she feels is important for the organization is leadership. A person who is willing to take a risk, who is willing to step out of the box, he or she knows this is the vision of the company and I need to do it. They may break rules. They are not illegitimate, but rules which are set for the purpose of certain barriers. If a barrier is coming in the picture, I have to perform something and I know for sure that it's going to benefit the company, I may take a risk of doing something out of turn. Right? Now, the company's culture has to nurture this to begin with. So that is leadership issues. Risk-taking capability. Every human being is risk-averse. When I say risk-averse means every human being does not want to take a risk. All of you will agree, right? We are all very happy, cocooned in a small comfort zone. Now, after some time, when you're sitting in a comfort zone for too long, all of you will agree, you start feeling stagnation. Comfort is okay up to a point. Beyond a point, comfort chokes the human being, right? So every person has got this psychological property where he says, I want comfort, at the same time, I want to come out of the comfort. These two things are opposing, but they are there in all of us. So in every employee, whatever level he may be, he wants to take a risk. It is the role of the HR, it is the role of the PMS, it is the role of the organization to identify this guy is now wanting to take a risk. He is pretty snug now, so let's push him. So we got to push him and tell him to take a risk and tell him, look, when you take a risk, you may win, you may not win, but we are there behind you because that's a learning process. Risk taking is a learning process in good managements. In certain organizations, risk taking is considered to be wrong. They say, whatever is going on at your level, keep doing it. At the same time, they will demand foolishly that you have to be creative. How can I be creative when I don't take a risk? You tell me, right? It's a system process which with involvement at all levels. Systematic, it's not the word should be systemic, not systematic, systemic. Systemic means what? Performance management is not done only for one department or two departments, it's overall. Because if one department is having a problem in its performance, Even if other departments do well, the company's performance will come down. So it is a systemic integration. So when I create a PMS, a performance management system for an organization, it's not done in isolation. Sometimes the organization will call for diagnostics. They'll call a consultant and they tell him, look, the marketing department is having some problem. They are not able to perform well. Our products are good. Our godown is good. Everything is good. This department needs a PMS. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. Because if I'm doing a PMS for one department, they start functioning, they'll be having demands with the other department. And the other departments have to meet. So we have to integrate everything together. If the integration doesn't happen, the PMS goes for a toss. So that is important. It's a systemic process with involvement at all levels. All levels. The last one in the slide is broad system of defining and measuring performance. I need to have some system, some metrics which says that if you do this, this is performance. If you don't do this, this is not performance. So there has to be some measurables and it has to be clearly communicated two-way. The person who creates a performance system may not be from the company. He may be a consultant. He creates a PMS for the company. He gives it to the HR people and to the top management. Now he needs to translate to them what is expected based on what they said, and it should be clear to them, and then that has to go to the employee. So the communication at all levels have to be very clear. Unfortunately, in some of the PMS systems, what happens is there are a lot of jargon. They write some words and all which neither the seniors understand nor the juniors understand. It's very sad. And so when the appraisal part of it takes place, everybody is wondering what is to be done and they start going skew. They are not in line with what is going on. So the important backbone is we have got to know that we have to have a broad system of defining and measuring performance. We need to have this. Okay. So here we are talking about this is like a cyclical process. If you see planning, implementing, reviewing, evaluating and reporting. And again, it goes back to the planning again. So it promotes growth and learning and it focuses on organizational capacity building. What do you mean by organization capacity building? The organization develops a capacity to perform better and better year after year. See, the point to be noted is, as years roll on, let's say there's a company that has just started up, the years are rolling on, much is expected from the company in terms of services and products which they are giving to the public. Also, within the company, there is a growth of human resources in terms of capabilities, etc. Now, when we say organization capacity, it means the organization should increase its reliability, its capacity to perform. So, if they have to be competitive, they have to offer more services, more products, which is capacity building. And to offer more services, more products, they have to offer good quality, competing with the market, obviously, it goes back to the human resources performance management. Right? Taking it further, it also addresses established auditable performance management systems. Auditable, that means whatever we are doing, are we in the right direction? Is it promise versus performance? What's the gap? Is it going in a proper ethical manner? So we have to audit, somebody has to ask questions and get answers so that we are on the right track as per the requirements of the organization. Right? Supports compliances. Compliance means walking my talk. There are certain laws, governances to be followed, certain statutory things to be followed. Are we following that or not? If it's a chemical manufacturing unit, is it polluting the atmosphere around? Is it polluting the waters around? Is it polluting the land around? Are they compliant in terms of permissible limits of effluent to be discharged? So all this is ultimately done by people. So those people, are they having those qualities which are required for compliance? Right? You know, involves design of balanced and well-calibrated key performance indicators. Now, by doing a performance management system, we come across a terminology called KPI. KPI, key performance indicators. So, if I am performing well in a certain task, there are certain indicators that will determine this performance is as per expectation. So, many of you must have heard this term KPI. There is another term called KRA also, which I'll discuss later. Right? Now these two are related with each other. So now taking it further, we are illustrating this type of a diagram in which the performance management system is illustrated, and out here we have
mission and strategy goals on the top. What the company wants to do, its mission, its vision, strategy, goals, etc. is enunciated. And that leads to setting ministry level priorities and objectives. And these are further going down to performance agreement, that this is the way we're going to perform. It's a mutual agreement that unless we perform to this level, we can't achieve the goals or the vision of the organization. That performance agreement leads to performance development plan, and then that takes you to the actual work and results, formal review, feedback and joint assessment, and finally monitoring performance. If you notice the whole vertical flow in the center, from mission and strategy goes up to monitoring performance, is nothing but a systematic approach wherein from the strategic level I come to the functional level of doing things. At every point of, as we go down the level, it's important that we are in touch with what needs to be done. There can't be departure from that. You can't deviate. And PMS ensures that it's kept on track. On both the sides, there are some other inputs. We draw lessons when it comes to performance agreement. What lessons? What we did last time? What the competitor is doing? From that lessons, we give feedstock to performance agreement. So if the way I'm making the performance agreement, it will have inputs coming from the best type of things which is being practiced or needs to be done, right? Now this comes from where? It comes from the performance improvement. That comes from incentives, the type of motivational inputs I give to people to make things happen. And that comes from feedback and rating. Now where does this feedback and rating come from? It comes from monitoring performance. So when you monitor the performance, you are getting some feedback, you're getting a rating, and that goes to learning a lesson, what needs to be done, what doesn't need to be done. It is not only internal, it is also external. From your competitors, you may get some idea that these are the things which they are doing, best practices, we can also implement it. So that can come into the performance agreement. On the other side, right hand side, as I'm looking at the slide, we have performance measurement, measurable targets and key performance indicators. Now, performance measurement is leading to monitoring performance. So I am measuring performance, and when I am measuring performance, I monitor it in terms of whether the performance is as per X, Y or Z, right? Now that is coming because I am setting measurable targets, and that gives me two key performance indicators. In a key performance indicators, you have to put measurable parameters as a standard which needs to be performed. If, for example, I am assembling this particular pointer, I am in the assembly of the pointer here, then there may be KPI which will say that in how many minutes I am able to assemble it. Key performance indicator. So there will be number of parameters which will indicate that when I fulfill these parameters, these indicators, when I fulfill them, it means my performance is as per the expectation, as per the norm, as per the standard. Right?